It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate and into your ears. No, I am not JT the Brick. This is Vince Sapienza, host of the Morning Tailgate, filling in for the legend, the man, the myth that is JT the Brick. And a happy July 3rd to Raider Nation Radio. If you haven't been told, a happy 4th of July and a happy 4th of July weekend to all members of the Silver and Black and anyone else who might be taking part. We are officially 2 weeks away from the Raiders rookies reporting for training camp. You could feel it in your bones. Football is around the corner. 4 weeks from tonight, it is the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio, which just so happens to be the locale where a good friend of Raider Nation, friend of this program, many programs, friend of mine, Eric Allen, will be inducted to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That is a mere 4 weeks away. And look, Christmas is a great day. No doubt about it. Thanksgiving, I love to eat more than anybody. I love the first Sunday of football. We're less than 10 Sundays away. But this is about that time that I really enjoy. There's something that isn't said enough, I should say, about the anticipation, the prelude to what is the grind of the football season. And I know everybody, you know, they're in vacation mode. They're at the beaches. I was just in San Diego this past week, soaking up some sun, getting a little reset, re-energized, and refocused as we get back here in town. And I understand this is the time to get away. Football's a long season. There's a lot to do. But as we've seen, this past week, even with NBA free agency, NHL free agency, the NFL is king. Trades are happening this week. Signings, extensions, players, GMs. Omar Khan just signs a 3-year extension contract, keeping him with the Pittsburgh Steelers through 2028. So there's always something with the NFL. And the NFL, you know, just likes to have those little friendly reminders. Hey, we're still king. You know, I know it's baseball season. I know we're in the heart of it, getting ready for the Midsummer Classic. I get it. NBA free agent. Bobby, I get it. You're a baseball guy. I know you're excited but the NFL has to give those little nudges and reminders saying, hey, we're still the bee's knees. NBA free agency has come and is still going. The Golden Knights just go out and grab the biggest fish once again, yet the NFL continues to be the talk of the town. And thank God for Raider Nation Radio 920, the flagship for the Silver and Black, to have 365 days of talking football specifically for the Raider Nation. And that is what we are going to do here today. Levi Edwards, Raiders digital reporter for the Silver and Black, will be joining us here in about a half hour's time. They, as in the Raiders, are pumping out content, just as we are here on the radio. Right, Bobby? They are pumping out content because even though maybe they're off-season, They still got to give the people what they want. So we're going to talk to Levi, see what they're churning up. They're doing some positional breakdowns for the Raiders. Today was the big boys on the offensive line. A little Jackson Powers Johnson in your life. Yesterday was the tight ends. Already did the quarterback. Quarterback's going to be a big topic of today's program. So we got Levi Edwards coming up in about a half hour's time. And then hour number two, we're going to talk to friend of the program, Case Kiefer, Las Vegas Sun. Talk a little football. He was with me at the Mitch Marner press conference a couple days ago for the Golden Knights, so we'll dig into all things with Case, maybe talk a little music, because as I've learned in recent weeks, Case is metalhead. Case was doing stage dives not too long ago. Talk to Case in about an hour's time, and then, you know, Bobby, you talk about being a baseball guy. You talk about being the heart of the baseball season. The Las Vegas Aviators or a ball club that needs to be seen. And this is a team that you can listen to right here on Raider Nation Radio. Pre-game for tonight against the Oklahoma City Dodgers starts at 6:50. First pitch at 7:05. Not tonight. 5:50. 5:50 tonight. Thank you, Bobby. 5:50 tonight. Matt Neverett will be joining us at about 1:30 to talk about the first half of the season champion Las Vegas Aviators. And a couple awards for some of their players came down the pipe about an hour ago. So we'll talk a little baseball with Matt, a little baseball in Las Vegas, talk a little A's maybe as they get set to make their way to Las Vegas here in a couple hours. But we're starting with football, and we're starting with the Raiders. You know, friend of the Silver Black, Bucky Brooks, a lot of Bobby Jastrzelski, got a lot of friends here. This is a friendly place. Good atmosphere. Everyone's Bobby says whatever. It's a friendly place. Bucky Brooks recently put out an article on NFL.com about the five teams that won the NFL offseason. Now, as we know, the only wins that count come in the fall. Wins and losses. But it's the proverbial who won the NFL offseason. Who did the most? And the question, among many questions I'll be asking here on this program, are the Raiders the undisputed number one winner of the offseason? 32 teams, everyone trying to get better, I understand all that. But is there a team that did more, took a bigger jump, made better upgrades, elevated their floor more than the Silver and Black? The answer, unequivocally, in my opinion, is no. Absolutely not. Now, Bucky Brooks names the Raiders as one of five teams. The Chicago Bears, the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots, the Washington Commanders. They all upgraded, without question. But it is with little doubt that the Raiders upgraded at the most positions, the most critical positions in one offseason in a span of less than 4 months. So we're going to dive into all that here in the next T-minus 2 hours on the JT the Brick Show. But I want to hear from you. 702-365-9200 is the number. This is an interactive show, as we know. Maybe the most interactive, and we want to keep that train rolling. In addition to the question of, is there a team that rivals the Raiders and who bested the offseason, I do have a subtopic. Who's your breakout player for the Raiders? Who's the one guy? Doesn't matter position, doesn't matter year, doesn't matter if they're a rookie or a 10-year. I want one name that you feel is going to break out, and I want to know why. I have my pick, and it all rolls into said topic. Geno Smith. He got a lot of headlines this weekend. Social media was ablaze because Geno Smith was all hot and bothered at a 7-on-7 tournament, league, camp, whatever it was, over the weekend in Florida. He was on the sidelines, jaw-jacking, trash-talking with somebody. We don't know who. We don't know what it was about. All we heard him say was, that's why I get paid the big bucks. Now, at the time this video surfaced, everyone said Geno Smith was in a fight. Geno Smith had to be restrained at a 7-on-7 camp. Well, if you take more than 2 seconds to look at the video, restrained is a strong word to describe what was taking place. And fight is, we've talked about it on the morning tailgate this past week. In an Italian family, if you call that a fight, then don't come over to our house. Because if you call that a fight, that is, just not for you. Just not for you. Geno Smith, the competitor he is, whatever the situation was, we don't even know the context. Don't need to know the context. But Geno Smith responded to those videos online on his Twitter. You can go check them out. Basically saying, I've heard, said, been part of worse at my family's spades games. So this is competitors of the 1% of the 1% competing. Now, this is a story that's a couple days old. I'm not bringing up that story to talk about it again. What I am talking about is Geno Smith. And for a guy who was kind of thrown away by the National Football League after his time in New York, tucked away in the Pacific Northwest, comeback player of the year with Pete Carroll over there in Seattle, not talked about. Nobody knew about him. Last 3 years, 71 touchdowns. Interceptions might be a little up for many's liking. But he was able to win with a team that many would not consider to be a winning franchise at that time. Geno Smith is a guy who did more with less, better than most. One of the most accurate passers in the National Football League. That is not conjecture. That is not an opinion. That is pure fact. And this morning on the morning tailgate, we had Warren Sharp on. And Warren Sharp is, for lack of a better word, is one of the most analytically knowledgeable football men that walk on this planet. And every year he puts out the 2000, or he puts out the, his football preview book, this year obviously being the 2025 edition, where he has a chapter for every single team, 500 and some odd pages, digitally or in book form, that break down the ins, the outs of every team, what they're good at, what they're bad at, what they're facing at schedule-wise, where they rank, every nook and cranny of analytics and numbers you could want, you look in Warren Sharp's book. Now, we have him on the show, and for our listeners, Raider Nation, flagship for the Silver and Black, if you go to sharp.football and purchase Warren Sharp's book using the code Raiders, a $35 charge drops down to $1. You will not find a better bang for your buck when it comes to football information and things you need to know ahead of the 2025 NFL season better than this book. All you got to do is use code Raiders for our listeners, and it is $1. What can you buy for a dollar these days that gets you any sort of anything? I think bubblegum's more than a dollar these days. Not sunflower seeds. Soda's more than a dollar, definitely. Those vending machines are expensive. So, needless to say, that is a book that you want to download, you want to purchase, and you want to do so quickly because that that offer will not last more than a few days. I do believe maybe a day or two. Warren Sharp, we asked him about Geno Smith. And if he's getting the love he should be getting. We all understand he has elevated that quarterback room here in Las Vegas. We understand he is the undisputed crowned number one quarterback for the Silver and Black. But even that, he's the 19th, 20th highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. If you were to do a poll around the league, people would say maybe top 12, top 15 quarterback in the NFL. This host here would say, without a question, top 12. He's playing at a top 10 level at various points during his tenure with Seattle in three seasons. So I wanted to get the ins and outs of Geno. So we asked Warren Sharp, is Geno Smith under the radar?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think it all stems back to his entry into the NFL and his time with the New York Jets and his time when he was not matured as an individual and not matured as a quarterback yet. And we've all, you know, been in jobs and business settings or friends that you might have met where, you know, you had a really bad first impression. And sometimes like you have a boss and you might not have the good work ethic coming out of school. You might not have your ducks in a row and your boss has a poor impression of you. And it's hard to change that impression. And I think a lot of people have a poor impression of Geno Smith. And despite the fact that, you know, it didn't help that he's played in the Pacific Northwest, and that's where he's really taken off. So he's from New York, the biggest market in the country, and he's terrible and he's punching a teammate or whatever happened there. And so there's just a bad impression of him. And he goes out to the Pacific Northwest and all of a sudden he's flourishing. And I think that's the largest reason why he has flown under the radar. Also the fact that, you know, the Seahawks aren't making deep playoff runs. And so the national media isn't talking about this team that you're seeing the twilight of Pete Carroll's career in Seattle. And then he's got a new head coach there. But, you know, Geno Smith, the biggest thing to me that's going to make the world a difference for you guys that you should notice right away is his accuracy. His accuracy in 2021, out of every quarterback that had enough attempts, he was the number one most accurate quarterback. 2022, he was the most accurate quarterback. 2023, he was the most accurate quarterback. And last year, he was the number two most accurate quarterback. We're talking about for the last 4 years, he was either number one or number two in quarterback accuracy. Brock Bowers last year, tight end, absolute stud. He ranked number 29 out of 36 qualifying tight ends in rate of targets that were actually accurate. Jacoby Myers ranked 63rd out of 103 wide receivers in rate of targets that were actually accurate. So you're going to get a lot more accurate targets to Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers, and you guys know better than I do what happens when you get an accurate target. Number one, it's easier to catch. Number two, it's easier to gain yards after the catch because that target is right on your body. You're not jumping. You're not falling to the ground to go and get it. You're not slowing your momentum down. And for those reasons, you should see a lot more yards after the catch from these receivers and a lot higher catch rate as well.
Once again, that is Warren Sharp from the Morning Tailgate with myself, Vinny Bonsignore, and Clay Baker. And Again, I know there was a lot of information packed into that soundbite. But did you hear those numbers? In the last 4 years, Geno Smith is the most accurate quarterback, either one or two, in the NFL. Not in the NFC West, not in the AFC, in the entire National Football League. And when you really want to put things into context, when you really want to put it into perspective about where the Raiders' quarterback position and level of play was a year ago, Brock Bowers, who set all the records for rookie pass catchers, tight ends, 112 catches last year, we're thinking, oh, you know, how much better can he be? Well, when you sit there and you talk about, one, how good he is and how much better he can be, he ranked 29th out of the 36 that were available for targets in terms of rate of targets that were accurate, meaning he didn't get a lot of accurate passes. He had to do a lot of contorting, a lot of twisting, a lot of jumping, a lot of stopping to make said grab before his yards after catch. Jacoby Myers, who did not drop a pass, was 63rd out of 100-some-odd people in terms of rate of targets that were accurate toward him. So this is not throwing any shade or strays to the quarterbacks of last year. That's not what this discussion and this topic is. This is talking about Geno Smith and the fact that we're maybe not talking about him enough. Now, is Geno Smith going to be a top five, top three quarterback in the NFL? I don't know. But who am I to say he can't be? Because when you say he's the most accurate quarterback in the NFL in the last 4 years, well, last time I checked, that's a big part of the job description for a quarterback in the NFL, especially a successful one. And this is a guy who played outdoors in sloppy, windy, I know it wasn't always rainy, but who played the majority of his time outside. So we asked Warren, we followed it up. Warren, I mean, is it going to really be that really big of a difference going from the PNW, Pacific Northwest, to inside the friendly confines of Allegiant Stadium?
It's night and day. I mean, he is the most impacted quarterback by great weather conditions. When he plays in a dome, 6.7 touchdowns for every interception. When he plays outdoors, it's only 1.6 touchdowns for every interception. When he plays in domes, he's averaging 8.2 yards per attempt. When he plays outdoors, it's 7.2 yards per attempt. Whoa. His sack to interception rate drops in half. He averages a much higher success rate and a much higher EPA per attempt. The one thing, though, is that Seattle, obviously playing in the Pacific Northwest, they haven't played a ton of dome games. In the last 3 years that he's been a starter, it is a decent enough sample size to start looking at per pass attempt and what are the numbers, but he's still only started 10 games in domes the last 3 years, 39 games outdoors. Do you know this year alone, he is going to play 12 games indoors? So he played 10 games indoors over the last 3 years, and his numbers are dramatically better every single time. And keep in mind, all those games are road games where a quarterback shouldn't necessarily be flourishing in a hostile environment, but he is when he's playing in these dome games. 20 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. That's what he's doing in dome games. Now he gets to play 12 such games in 2025. I think it's absolutely going to make him feel a lot more comfortable, a lot more efficient as the numbers are reflecting here. And I think it's going to raise the floor even higher for the Raiders passing attack this year with Geno there.
Are we excited yet, Raider Nation? I mean, I know there was excitement before when the trade went down for Geno reuniting with Pete Carroll, and that story was great. That story felt good. We went through OTAs. We went through minicamp. We saw it. I saw it on the practice field, visually how different it looked with him slinging the pigskin to different members of the Raiders. It looks different. It feels different. And then when you hear these numbers, right? I know football is not played on a calculator. I know it's not played on a computer. But these are staggering differences in terms of the numbers. When Geno Smith is playing outdoors compared to when he's playing indoors, 10 times indoors over the last 3 years. He's got 12 this year. And Warren Sharp said there's not a quarterback in the NFL who has a bigger impact of making that shift than Geno Smith, which is why, spoiler alert, my breakout player on this team is Geno Smith. He might be sitting there saying, Vince, he's a 30-something odd quarterback. How do you break out? I think Geno Smith's numbers with a competent running game. Remember Ashton Gentry still here? Yeah. With a competent running game, his numbers are going to be in the upper echelon of just about every single category. And if that doesn't have the silver and black salivating, then I don't know what does. So when I couple that conversation we had with Warren Sharp, who does nothing but lock himself in a room and crunch these numbers, bang out these numbers, put together this book that is now available to Raider Nation for $1, he's a guy I trust. He's a guy I look to, and I sit there, and I have an even better feeling of Geno Smith today than I did 5 hours ago, before I saw those numbers, read those numbers, and understood the magnitude of, I mean, the rate of targets for accuracy for Brock Bowers, 29 of 36. Now you're getting one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the National Football League. Think of the yak. The yards after catch, the big time, big play availability now at the Raiders' disposal with Brock, with Jacoby, with Ashton, Dante Thornton, getting Jack Besh involved. Hey, don't forget about Trey Tucker. He looked unbelievable this offseason during OTAs. It is a good time to be a member of Raider Nation because everything looks up and to the right. Right now, which is why it is without question, they are the undisputed winners of the offseason. Now, what does that mean in terms of wins and losses? Well, the players got to do that on the field. I'm not going to sit here and pretend one equals the other because it doesn't. And historically, regardless of sport, that's always the case. The NHL draft just took place last weekend. The Nashville Predators spent the most money out of any team in the National Hockey League a year ago, getting nothing but star power. They finished 30th out of 32 teams. So when we say who won the offseason, I'm not talking about who spent the most. I'm talking about who elevated the most critical positions of need on a football team. The Raiders. Infrastructure at the top with ownership, without question. Tom Brady involved, gets the ball rolling. That starts the domino effect. Ben Johnson was a guy everyone was looking to for the Raiders. Pete Carroll comes in. Yeah, massive elevation from Antonio Pierce. No shade to Antonio Pierce, but he doesn't have the credentials Pete Carroll does. Not many do, by the way. You get the most accurate quarterback in the National Football League, one of the last 4 years? Yeah, I'd say that position's elevated. You take Ashton Gentry, number 6 overall? Yeah, I would say that elevated. Oh, yeah, and don't forget the most expensive play caller in the National Football League, Chip Kelly. All upgrades, all elevating the floor, which is thus getting us closer to a possible ceiling of what this team could look like. 702-365-9200. You just heard the names, the numbers, and everything that goes with Geno Smith, my breakout player. I think he is going to break out in a big way in terms of numbers and in terms of notoriety within the National Football League here in Las Vegas. The lights are brighter in Vegas, Bobby. People are going to see him. The Raiders, everyone loves to look at Allegiant Stadium. Well, Geno Smith, number 7, QB1, is going to be front and center in those highlights. I do believe he's my breakout player. I want to hear from you. 702-365-9200 is the number. It's the JT, the Brick Show. Vince Sapienza filling in. Levi Edwards, Raiders digital reporter for the Silver and Black, joins us here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
I think Coach Carroll is extremely relatable. I think he understands that guys have got to be themselves in order to be their best selves, and he allows guys to go out there and really, you know, just be themselves. And he's a fun person to be around if you've ever been around him. You see just how, you know, positive he always is. He's always got a bright smile. He's always laughing, joking around. And, you know, to have him as a coach, he's a part of the team. You know, it's not him above the team or, you know, anyone above the team. It's everyone together collectively, and I think that's what he does a great job of doing, is creating a collective mindset for everyone.
Talk about the journey. Gino and Pete went their separate ways for a time, but they are back here in Las Vegas, and they're ready to cook. They are ready to get after it. And talk about a guy who gets after it, whether it's in the gym or whether it is behind the keyboard or whether it is out on the field. He is the man who does the work we need. He is Raiders digital reporter. He is the one and only Levi Edwards. Levi, good afternoon. How are we?
Good, Vince. Another hell of an introduction, my man. You kill it with those, bro. I appreciate it. Every time with the juice. Thank you.
Levi, well, you know, you got to bring the juice to get the juice, right? And we got to squeeze it out as best we can. We still got 2 weeks before rookies report, 4 weeks before that first preseason game, Hall of Fame game. And we're talking here about, because I want to get into the work you are doing right now in these dog days of summer for the National Football League with the positional position previews, I should say, up on Raiders.com. But first, when we talk about breakout players, right, I think a lot of people think the younger guys, you know, maybe guys elevating to a bigger role, bigger responsibility. But when I think of breakout players, I can't help but start NN with Geno Smith. I mean, I know he's in his, mid-30s. I know he's been around the block. He's put up big numbers. I just feel like his floor gets raised so much that his ceiling gets pushed even higher. If I were to say he's the Raiders breakout player of 2025, what would you say to that?
I would kind of agree with you. I would say in the sense that I feel like Geno and Pete get along so well because they kind of have a similar aging like fine wine situation, if you will. You know, they both are guys that have come in. They've been around for a while. They had to, you know, learn their way later in their careers. You know, when you kind of get counted out, Pete Carroll got counted out of the NFL with a couple of teams, goes over to college, and then he starts having the success he has. Geno, he's a guy that was a baller at West Virginia, and then he takes a couple of years, kind of becomes a journeyman around the league, and then they finally clicks for him. So obviously he's already had a couple of really good seasons with Seattle, but I would say that it's not impossible for him to have another even grander, even bigger breakout season with the Las Vegas Raiders. And I would like to remind you of another quarterback, what I think of, that had a breakout season, breakout performances late in his career as a Raider, my guy Rich Gannon, who does a lot of stuff with us. There's a lot of Raider Nation that is a huge fan of Rich Gannon. And honestly, if you look at the stories and how they correlate, Geno could come here and have a very big impact very early, have a very Rich Gannon-esque career here with the Raiders. And you know, that's a very high compliment considering Rich Gannon got the Raiders to a Super Bowl, won an MVP well into his mid-30s, late-30s, after he had been written off by the Chiefs and some other teams that he was around with the league and the Vikings. So I definitely could see a breakout season, Vince.
Yeah, a guy who's written off, didn't write back. Geno Smith. I see him going from outdoors, sloppy, windy, wet, to indoors for 12 games this season with weaponry that I don't believe he's truly had in his career at a level to where he was comfortable in the National Football League in terms of being ready to be the guy, be QB1. I just think the sky's the limit for Geno. And, now we got to see him do it. If in a few weeks' time, they're back out of here. Feels good, doesn't it, Levi? Training camp is this month. I keep saying next month, but it is happening this month.
Weeks away. And it's crazy just how quick the offseason went. You know, I probably should have took off a few more days, used a little bit more of my PTO. But you get to a point every year. For me personally, I get to a point every year where it's like, you just start getting like restless, you know, and that's how I know I still care. That's how much I know I still love this game and I love this gig. It's like I get to a point where I get restless and I need to see some football. I need to see some, you know, your undrafted rookie free agent in training camp make a play. And that juices me up. I need to see that. I need to see, I need to see Geno slinging it around to these weapons, Brock Bowers doing his thing in training camp, going into the season, 18 weeks of this. I need that. And I'm starting to get to that point where I'm just so excited for it.
Well, yeah, it is that restless time, but I started off the show talking about this is kind of my favorite. I love the anticipation. I love the buildup. I love the hope. I love the anxiety that comes with the rookies reporting, training camp getting underway, and the camp battles that will no doubt ensue here in a matter of weeks. All right, talk about you talked about, you know how you still care? I know how you still care when I read your articles up on Raider.com, doing the positional breakdowns that you're doing in the last few days. I want to start with yesterday's, the tight ends. And you're like, Vince, what more can be said about Brock Bowers? Michael Mayer, I want to talk about Ian Thomas a little bit because during OTAs and during minicamp, we got a healthy dose of Michael Mayer being intentionally sought out in the passing game. Obviously, Brock Bowers doing his thing, but we saw a lot of 13 personnel with Ian Thomas on the field with Brock, with Big Mike, as they say. But Ian Thomas seems to be like a real fixture moving forward with this team and a person and a player that Pete Carroll is really prioritizing.
For sure. And it all comes from him just having the very sneaky good career that he's had. I think when people look at tight ends, they get too wrapped up on, okay, well, how many touchdowns are they catching? You know, how many passes are they getting? How many targets are they getting? And see, sometimes you have to go back to like what the tight end position used to be before we had our Mike Dickens of the world and our Kellen Winslows of the world and our Travis Kelce and Brock Bowers. A tight end is a guy who's essentially is going to be your inline, you know, sixth offensive lineman who's going to be getting his hands in the dirt and he's going to block and he's going to make sure that he gets some extra plays out of anything. And you just drafted Ashton Jeanty. The Raiders just drafted Ashton Jeanty with their first pick in the NFL draft in the first round. So I'm assuming they want to run the ball. And if you want to run the ball efficiently, you're going to have some guys up there who can block, make some plays. Ian Thomas, everything that I've seen, even dating back to Carolina, he's a guy that can make some plays. He's a guy that can get some blocks, make some things going. You know, not the guy, and he's sneakily good when it comes to being able to get vertical and make some plays, but that's going to be his job. And Mike Mayer, who I believe has, you know, gotten bigger and faster, another guy who I believe can become an exceptional tight end blocking as well. So that's why you see a lot of that 13 personnel with the three tight ends. You have Brock, who can kind of take the top off, and you have two guys that can still, you know, pass catch, but also much more physically demanding blockers. So everything is coming in place with what they're trying to build. Chip Kelly's a guy that you know is going to want to run the ball. So let's run the ball. Let's get some guys who are going to block. And I think Ian Thomas is going to be really good at that.
We're talking to Levi Edwards, Raiders digital reporter. Follow him up on the X at the Levi Edwards. Levi, you guys are, as I mentioned, positional breakdowns for the Silver and Black leading up to training camp. Today's was on the big boys on the offensive line. And obviously, a lot of ink will be written and talked about with Jackson Powers Johnson, who's a player who many believe is going to ascend in a big way into the National Football League lexicon of the analysts and pundits and things of that nature. But I want to talk to you in its totality, right? I think we learned a lot about what Pete Carroll thinks about this offensive line by their, let's just say, lack of movement during free agency. You know, Alex Kapp is obviously the first free agent signed by the Raiders. And then that's it. It's a couple draft picks, highly sought after draft picks in the third round, no doubt. But it feels like Pete Carroll and his staff are a little bit more bullish on those that are returning than I think the overwhelming majority of the National Football League. How do you see it?
I just being here internally and watching these games and seeing how these guys do their thing, I'm going to be honest with you, Vince. I have to agree with the moves that are being made. I honestly do not think the offensive line is really that far off from being a very good unit. And I think a lot of people look at the numbers of how poor the run game was last year. And yes, the offensive line had, you know, a lot to do with that as well. But towards the later end of the season, you have a lot of adjustments being made. You have a lot of guys that are kind of moved around. You have Jackson Powers Johnson, the guy you just talked about, who was initially drafted to be a guard. Once he moved over to center, you you could immediately see the change in the way that the offense was able to move the ball down the field, how quick he snapped the ball, how quick he's off the line of scrimmage. Him at center is going to be a huge upgrade for the Raiders' offensive line. And also DJ Glaze on the right side, he was a guy that really developed later into the season, really became a really good player. You have two guards who I feel like are pretty dependable. Dylan Parham is probably one of the faster offensive linemen you're going to find in the league, really fast off the line of scrimmage. And Alex Kappa, who a guy that you would assume would be the starting guard over on that other side, but you still have a guy like Jordan Meredith who came in. Jordan Meredith played some damn good football last year.
Yeah.
And I expect to see him actually compete for that spot. I think a lot of people are expecting Kappa to, you know, take the starting job because he has the experience, he has the starts. He's tied with Spytek, but I would watch out for that guard spot because there's going to be a lot of competition there, even with Meredith and the guy they just drafted from Texas Tech, Caleb Rogers, both dogs. And then I also have to account for the fact that Colton Miller, last year, he came into the season, missed most of training camp because he was coming off of shoulder surgery. So he played all 17 games, but he wasn't the same player coming into the season, and it kind of felt like he was dragging behind just, you know, throughout the early stretch of the season. So you're going into camp with a fully healthy offensive line that's kind of now everybody knows their role. Everybody is kind of getting adjusted to what they need to be in a new blocking scheme with Chip Kelly. I really saw things pick up towards the end of the season that really made me optimistic. And obviously, Spytek, Carroll, they have to be pretty optimistic as well, considering they didn't go tackle first round. They didn't go Kelvin Banks. Yeah. They didn't go Mimbu. They didn't do that. They went Ashton Jeanty to let you know, we have guys up front that are going to be able to protect our quarterback that we just invested in and our running back that we just invested in. So that should tell you everything you need to know about what they think about their offensive line and how they played in the season.
And it also tells you a lot about what they think of Thayer Munford. Again, I know it was just one viewing at minicamp, but Dylan Parham didn't finish, I believe it was day three, of mandatory minicamp a few weeks ago, and the first person to fill in at that left guard spot was not Jordan Meredith, it was not one of the rookies, it was Thayer Munford, which tells you a lot about what they see, what they think of that player right there. You know, again, it remains to be seen what that five-man iteration turns out to be week one when they kick the ball off over there in Foxborough. But there's a lot of versatility on this line, something that Pete Carroll likes, something that definitely Chip Kelly likes as well.
And I'm gonna add to that because I really do like Thayer. Thayer's a great guy, one of the people who I'm tighter with on the team, and he works hard. And he's a guy who was drafted in the seventh round. Really, that's a steal. The Raiders stole this man in the seventh round, a guy that could have been a third or fourth round pick when he came out. And he's a guy that I feel would have also been very adequate at that right tackle position. And he came into the season as the starting right tackle. And then he got hurt, and DJ Glaze just played well enough to keep that job. And he developed and he got better. So Thayer is no slack. Thayer's a guy who can go in there, and he has versatility with playing, you know, guard and tackle while he was in college. So, and last year, even though he got the job taken from DJ Glaze, he still played a lot. He still came in and played a lot of jumbo tight end. They still did a lot of things with him that indicate that he was still a part of this team. He's a guy that we still need on the field. So the fact that you observed that he was the guy that came in, you would think, yeah, maybe DJ Glaze, he might have the tackle spot locked up, but maybe he doesn't. Maybe Thayer wins it back. Mm. Maybe Thayer, you know, becomes another one of those guards. Maybe he has those same intentions of being a jumbo tight end. You talk about 13 personnel with Ian Thomas, and we've seen a lot of that. But maybe, you know, you have Thayer kind of roll back into that spot too if you really need on the goal line situation.
We got to check those hands.
The versatility he brings. Oh, yeah. He's a big dude. He's a giant. The versatility Thayer brings, I love to see it, and they can do a lot with him.
He's Levi Edwards. Follow him on the X at the Levi Edwards Raiders Digital Reporter. All right, before we let you go, I need your breakout player for 2025. I'm not going to hold you to it, but I will hold you to it on July 3rd of 2025. Breakout player for the Raiders. And if you were to enter your name in an eating contest and you got to choose the food for a world championship, what is Levi Edwards doing?
Okay. Well, first I'm going to start off with the breakout player. And I really want to say JPJ, but I feel like that's not – I feel like a lot of people are expecting JPJ to be the breakout player of the year at center. guy that really excelled, a second round pick. So I'm gonna do a little bit more of a deep dive.
Like it.
A little bit more of a, be a little bit more controversial.
Ooh.
Ja'Quarian Bennett.
Okay.
Ja'Quarian Bennett's a guy who had a hell of a season last year. He was leading the team in pass deflections. Allowed less, I think it was 53% completion percentage when he was the nearest defender in coverage. He had a great season last year, and then he was dealing with a torn labrum that he was playing with the whole year. Had to go get surgery because it got too bad. He's starting to get back into the motion of things. But he's a guy that obviously played a lot of outside corner last year, but now when you look at how this team is, you know, is the construction of this team, I should say, you want. Pete looks like he wants to have those bigger guys on the outside, like, you know, your Darian Porter and your Eric Stokes and, you know, your DeCameron Richardson, those big, long, lengthy corners. Ja'Quarian's about 5'11", really fast guy. If you put Ja'Quarian in the nickel, I think Ja'Quarian could actually become one of the best nickels in the NFL.
Mm.
Like, and I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. Just the way that he plays, how fast he is, how physical he is, he could be a great nickel. And you kind of lose Nate Hobbs in free agency, so now you kind of need somebody to assume that role. I think JB would be a really good person for that, and I think he could have a really breakout season.
Okay.
As for what I would eat, this is going to sound really this is going to sound crazy, and it's going to sound really stereotypical for a lot of you fans, and I know it's going to sound big backery, very big back activity, but I'm going lemon pepper chicken wings. If I had to competitively eat one food and really go toe-to-toe, it's going to be some nice lemon pepper wings, which I'm really excited to get because I'm actually going back to Alabama next week for vacation, right before training camp. And Alabama is the best wing city in America. You can fight me on that. Any of you listening can fight me on that. Alabama.
If anyone's ever seen Levi, I'm not fighting Levi on anything. Levi, we appreciate you. We appreciate the work. Enjoy the PTO, the vacation. We will chat soon.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. That is Levi Edwards, the Raiders digital reporter and the soon-to-be lemon pepper chicken wing world champion someday. This is the JT the Brick Show. I'm Vince Sapienza, 702-365-9200. Want to hear from you. Breakout player of 2025 for the Silver and Black. More here on Raider Nation Radio 920.
You know, I mean, obviously, Bo and Marcus were two incredible athletes. And, you know, what they brought to the table was something totally different. Marcus, you know, is probably the best running back that I've ever seen. His ability to block, his ability to run, whatever, pass. You know, he probably a better quarterback than some of the guys we had, you know, on the team. But, you know, the guy that he really reminds me of is Napoleon Kaufman. You know, I think Napoleon came to the league, you know, a very undersized, you know, body or whatever. But, I mean, had the ability to return punts and kicks and do a lot of great things. And his ability to hit a hole and explode was really, really amazing. And so I just think that, you know, if he can do some of the things that Napoleon was doing, now he may be asked to do even more because Knapp wasn't asked to carry the load as much. I think he was sharing it with Tyrone Wheatley and a couple other guys. But, you know, Jethro, it's going to be all on him. It's going to be all on him to carry the load with the running game, and hopefully he can get that done. But I think this guy is going to be great for the Raiders, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him play.
That's the Hall of Famer, the Heisman Trophy winner, college Hall of Famer, Tim Brown, talking about one Ashton Jeanty, talking about the comps that – may be available. He's played with some of the best. Say Napoleon Kaufman would be a good start for Ashton Jeanty. And when we talk about breakout players, that's Bobby's pick. Ashton, number 6 overall. The Boise State back running through Las Vegas. The Silver Surfer finding his way in the end zone at Allegiant Stadium. And that's an interesting and a popular pick, I would say, for breakout player for the Raiders is Ashton Jeanty. We heard from Levi Edwards just a few minutes ago talking about how Jackson Powers Johnson might be another name that many in Raider Nation are thinking as the breakout player I, of course, said Geno Smith. And for those who are saying, how do you have Geno? What are you talking about? Geno is a breakout. He's a decorated quarterback. He's viewed as one of the better quarterbacks. He's a true. When I say breakout, I mean, like, I think his numbers are going to drastically change for the positive. He's going to be in a different stratosphere in terms of viewing from the public, that he's going to be looked at and seen. Because I'll be the first one to admit, I have no shame in my game. For a guy who covered the Seahawks in Washington State a number of years ago, not when Geno was there, but covered the team, I understand how, you know, Seattle, the Seahawks, and the Pacific Northwest tucked away in that corner of the country can kind of get lost in the shuffle, can get lost in that division of the NFC West. And it's a real thing, and I think that's what happened to Geno. So when I talk about breakout, I think this guy's going to break out and put his name on the table and say, hey, I am one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So that's my reasoning there. But Ashton Gentry's a hell of a pick too. Now, the pick that Levi had in Ja'Quarian Bennett fascinates me because we only got, four or five. How many viewings did we get? Four or five? Five or six? Whatever the number was during OTAs and minicamp of watching practice and seeing, you know, the ones run out there, the twos run out there, what tandems were with one another. Seeing Ja'Quarian Bennett in the quote-unquote second tandem with DeCameron Richardson behind Eric Stokes and rookie corner Darian Porter, it was interesting. You know, obviously, Ja'Quarian Bennett, of all the corners that are on the roster, is probably, in terms of build, the least Pete Carroll-type prototype, right? Pete Carroll likes long, rangy, tall guys in that DB room, specifically at the cornerback position, to be physical, tacklers, things of that nature. But Ja'Quarian Bennett, as we learned just a few weeks ago, he's been playing basically his entire college and professional career with one shoulder. His labrum's hanging off every time he makes a tackle or delivers a hit or takes any impact on that shoulder. It's constant. It was constantly popping out. It happened last year, happened the year before, to the point where the doctor's like, look, you need to get this fixed. They did get it fixed, which is why he missed most of the season. And now he's back, feeling good, feeling healthy, with a shoulder intact. So who am I to say JB Agent Zero can't be a Pete Carroll prototype? He can't be the next one. We want to get your breakout players. 702-365-9200 is the number. We'll read your texts. Now we're number two. We are kicking it off with Case Keefer, the Las Vegas Sun. It's Raider Nation Radio 920.